Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question-and-answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember God's Word? The Bible gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we would like to face the issues. May I remind you that this is a listener participation program, and you're invited to call. You can call us today at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Be delighted to take your call, listen to your, if you please, issue, or you could have dialogue about the discussion today. We're continuing our study on the panorama of prophecy. We'll look at another segment of that wonderful study. And by the way, some of what I will be saying, I'll be quoting from my book, The Panorama of Prophecy, that we had the privilege of researching and writing, and it's the culmination of years and years and years of study, the proclamation and the teaching from the pulpit and the lecture classroom on prophecy. I enjoy the study of prophecy, and I pray that you will listen intently, participate by calling and asking your questions if there's an issue that I touch on that you're of interest in and or that you have a question about. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist standpoint. What does it mean, central biblicist? That means looking at all of our issues from a biblical worldview. You see, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the issue that we're faced with, it comes out of one of three major realms of life, either the home, the church, or the government. Those are the three realms, those are the three spheres in which we live in. We cannot bifurcate our lives and say that we're Christian on Sunday and we can do as we please on Monday through Saturday. We cannot say that we love our family and then live a life away from our family and that will be in some way destructive to our family. We can't say that we're living in a system of government and the constitutional rule of law and then not recognize that governmental authority is under the ultimate authority of God himself, according to the scripture. So as we talk about issues, we talk about facing the issues with looking at the biblical worldview for the answer to those issues. Keep in mind that the truth is the word of God. Jesus himself said that. Thy word is truth in John 17:17. Jesus had already said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May I remind us that we are not free unless we are meditating in the word, studying in the word, allowing the word of God to permeate our hearts and give us wisdom and directions as we serve the Lord. May I, by way of introduction of the Conservative Theological University, say a few things about that. Then we'll get into our subject matter, panorama of the prophecy. Panorama of prophecy as we look at the chain of events that shall take place after the Christian, we Christians, referred to as the church, the bride of Christ, after we have been raptured out. What will take place? Multitudes of people believe in the rapture. It is a biblical principle. It is without question found in the scripture, contrary to some that disbelieve, deny, and try to dissuade others from believing in the rapture. But after the rapture, what happens? We've covered some of that. We'll recite some of it to tie the loose ends together for our hearers today. Perhaps you've not listened to the previous broadcast to be up to speed as to where we are. But let me say some things about our university. Conservative Theological University has been in existence since 1982. We have students globally. We have students in the United States as well as international. We have students in the classroom, some by way of internet, some by way of the traditional distant educational program where you can receive your syllabi and your textbooks right in your own home or your office. You can study by way of the internet, what we call our e-courses. You can sit in your own home or at your office with your laptop, with your computer, do your research, your studies, answer the questions, and then that is uploaded back to the university for one of the professors to grade. But one of the wonderful things that I want to make as an announcement today, the first time in the history of the university, Conservative Theological University, we're offering some 50 scholarships for the fall 2016 and 2017 new students. This applies only to new students. It can be students on any level, coming in at the associate's level, the master's level, the graduate or postgraduate level. We have programs leading to programs of study leading to your credentials, your certified degree in associates of arts in several different disciplines, the bachelor of arts, the master of arts, master of divinity. In each of those master's levels, there are five different disciplines of study that you can concentrate and focus on. And then the doctoral programs, we have five different doctoral programs, all of which require a master's level credential to enter into them. But these are scholarships that are available, that we're making available for the first time. May I remind us of the university, it's theologically sound, doctrinally conservative, academically rigorous, financially affordable, biblically reliable, and realistically practical. And I've said that to say that you are welcome to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Talk with someone about setting an interview appointment and see what you qualify for as to a scholarship for the 2016-17 academic year. That is the fall of 2016 goes into early part of 2017, then the spring semester, and then the summer semester and the fall semester. The scholarship's available for 2016-2017 for 50 new students. So may I encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. We are certified through the Council of Private Colleges of America. We are part of, a proud active member of, the Florida Council of Private Colleges. And may I remind us, we have courses of study that will fit into the category of the area of ministry that you're presently in. Perhaps God's called you to ministry. You've not yet gone to Bible college, or you've gone to Bible college and you have some credits. They're transferable, and you want to complete your work. We'd be delighted to lock arms with you and go down that road of getting your credential completed so that you can honor God in the understanding of the Scripture. May I remind us that whether it's you or me or others, 5 years from now, we're going to be 5 years older, with or without the study and the preparation, the credentials that God would have us to have to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is with a grave, how would you say, little question mark, if we are still here. And I tell people every day, we need to study and prepare and to proclaim the gospel and be ready as though we're going to be here 1,000 years, and yet be prepared if the church is raptured out, that is the bride of Christ, the Christians are raptured out in the next 30 seconds. The question is, are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? You can call and participate in this dialogue, this program of Let's Face the Issue. We're facing the issue today, as we have for several days, dealing with the panorama of prophecy. May I remind us once again that what is going to take place, the next thing on the calendar of God, is the rapture of the church. It is the word from the Latin term rapturus, means the sudden seizure, the snatching away. That's validated in several places in the Scripture, but one of the classic scriptural texts dealing with the rapture of the church is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And may I remind us the rapture of the church, and after the rapture, we as believers will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and will be judged for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad, according to the text. We'll be, our works, our deeds, what we've done for the Lord after salvation, will be adjudicated before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the judgment seat of Christ will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. These things will be taking place in heaven after we're raptured out. We'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and following, and according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, we will return with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to this world, when he returns to earth. He will set up his kingdom, his throne will be set up out of his from the temple in Jerusalem. There's no temple in Jerusalem today. I understand that. But according to the Ezekiel text, chapters 40 and following, there will be a rebuilding of the temple. It will be utilized in the days of the tribulation. It will be utilized in the days of the millennial reign. Jesus Christ will rule and reign the globe from his throne in the temple in Jerusalem. But may I remind us, while these things are taking place in heaven, there's a seven-year period of time before Jesus returns. After the rapture, there's a seven-year period of time that, according to the Scripture, will take place here on earth. And the thing that will happen is time the church is snatched out, time the church is raptured out, the man of sin, Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians verse 9, 10, 11. He's called the man of sin, the Antichrist, the one that will step on the scene. And according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, there will be a negotiated peace treaty. That peace treaty will be with the nation of Israel. And after 3.5 years, he'll break that treaty. And then there will be a global chaos, and it will be war that will spread across the world. And according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, it will be led by the Russian Empire, with five Islamic nations following, and it will culminate in what's called the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of all battles. But may I remind us, prior to that culmination, there'll be some things that'll take place. When you study the book of the Revelation, you see Revelation is all about seeing the lovely, lifted, life-giving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1, we see Jesus Christ revealed. Chapter 2 and 3, we see Jesus in the seven churches. In chapters 4 and 5, we see Jesus on the throne. In chapters 6 through 18, we see Jesus in the days of the tribulation. Chapter 19, we see Jesus in his return. Chapter 20, we see Jesus in the millennial reign. Chapter 21, we see Jesus in heaven. In chapter 22, we see Jesus throughout all of eternity. But my dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that when the church is snatched out, there will be cataclysmic events that will take place. Some of those are outlined and discussed in Matthew chapter 24, where the Scripture says, and Jesus answered, by the way, he's answering a question. His disciples have said, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus said in verse 4 and following in chapter 24 of Matthew, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many, so the little word megas in the Greek text, we get our word mega, many shall come to you in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing that today. Ye shall be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. May I remind us, when the Jesus speaks that the end is not yet, why is that so? Because in Revelation 6 through Revelation 18 gives us the chronological order of the catastrophes and the decimation and the destruction that shall take place. We'll read that and get into that text in a moment. Further in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, just today, in fact, it was off the wire just a few moments ago, a magnitude 7.1 earthquake strikes roughly 100 miles off the coast of Gisborne, New Zealand. And may I remind us that that's not the first one. We've had the earthquake after earthquake since we started as a society of recording earthquakes. We have an intensification of the strength of the earthquakes and an intensification of the numbers of earthquakes that are taking place on a global basis every year. In fact, right now, in a year's time, more earthquakes take place than prior to all recorded recorded history of earthquakes taking place. All cumulative, we have more on an annual basis. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can call us today at 401-1413. We're talking about the panorama of prophecy, what is going to take place. Now, one of the things that the Scripture reminds us of, that the society is going to be very much like in Genesis, the sixth chapter, before the destruction of the world by way of the flood, the Genesis flood. It tells us that in Matthew 24, verse 36, 37, 38, and 39, but just as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Lord. So may I remind us, when we're talking about the last days or the end times, we're in the last of the last days. We can see that by simply watching the news, by simply following the news. We have catastrophic events taking place. Some that some people look at and say, well, that's just part of society. No, it's not. We have major cataclysmic events taking place in America and around the globe because basically we've left God. We have rejected God. We've taken prayer out of the classroom. We've taken Bible out of the classroom. In most cases, the wicked infidels that run so many of our schools, whether it be local, state, or national, whether it be grade school or high school or college or university, they've even taken the pledge to the flag out. And in some schools and universities in particular, they refuse to display the American flag. Recently, there's a headline where an American judge is on trial for being Lutheran. Let me read you the brief introduction to the article. The state Supreme Court in Wyoming is considering charges that a municipal judge should be banned from the judiciary permanently and fined $40,000 for following the tenets of her Lutheran faith regarding marriage. The claims against Judge Ruth Neely, a municipal judge in the small town of Pinnacle, as well as part-time circuit court magistrate, were brought by the Wyoming Commission of Judicial Conduct and Ethics. The state agency got involved after a local reporter, upon the Supreme Court's creation of same-sex marriage, asked the judge whether she was excited to perform wedding ceremonies. Well, no, the judge responded, because her faith would not allow her to do that. Well, you would have thought she had shot the president, because immediately following that, and the LGBT crowd, the anti-God group, the degenerate, the moral society, the sodomite clubs in that state decided to press the charges against the judge. May I remind us, the law, the Center of Law and Justice, ACLJ, says this: Christians are being barbarically massacred. 72 mass graves filled with thousands of religious minorities have just been discovered. Christian men are being beheaded, women enslaved, kids crucified. Christians are pleading for help. No one cares about us, they say. They treat us as being non-human. And I'm illustrating for us to set the stage of the awfulness of society in where we are today, setting the stage. You see, God's not going to allow sin to continue. God's not going to allow wickedness to proliferate as it is today. It's as though there's a giant cup or vase or container that contains sin. And God's saying, I'm going to wait until that cup is brimming full and running over. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. That's God saying that I want you to have enough time to say yes to my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when God says enough is enough, and he's going to snatch the church, the bride of Christ, we as believers, out of this old world. But I want us to understand the stage is being set. The recent news is about the organization, the ungodly, unholy, demonic organization, Black Lives Matter, vowed to destroy the nuclear family. The officials of Black Lives Matter website vows to destroy the nuclear family and replace it with some communal-style collective parenting. Quote, We're committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, and especially our children, to the degree that the mothers and the parents and children are comfortable, states BlackLivesMatter.com on its guiding principle page on its website. This is wickedness. This is horrific. And yet Hillary Rodham Clinton, by the way, embraces them. Barack Hussein Obama embraces this wicked, ungodly, demonic organization called Black Lives Matter. May I remind us, it is a struggle for society and the norms of society based on the authority of the Word of God that we see taking place. And then I could, for the balance of this broadcast, and time will not allow, I could give you the litany of those that are involved in some type of prosecutorial response as a result of the LGBT group. In fact, I have a massive article that talks about the complete catalog of same-sex marriage violations of faith. You see, the Wyoming magistrate, Missouri State dismisses a counselor because of it. The clerk that refused to sign marriage licenses for sodomites. The mechanic that refused to do work because of his faith is being threatened now with death, etc. I could go through the whole list. Some are being threatened with all manner of persecution because they've taken a stand and said, we love Jesus. And because we are committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we're not going to follow what the world says is the abnormal, the unethical, ungodly way of life. We are living in the last days. And by the way, beginning in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, and we'll start on this and touch on this today and complete the text in Revelation chapter 6 by way of our broadcast tomorrow. I invite you to not only hear this out for today, but to join in tomorrow, because we're going to be looking at six of the seven seals. You see, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 6 through 18, there are 21 judgments. Chapters 4 and 5, there is the scene around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, there is a search, according to the scripture, for one that is worthy to open the seals. A seal is placed on a document or an instrument that is to be opened only by the one that has the authority to open it. The seven seal scroll that's found in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation is ultimately opened by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that has the authority. He's the one that, according to chapter 5 in Revelation, is worthy. He's the one that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we as believers will be surrounding the throne singing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. There are three stanzas, by the way, to that wonderful song, worthy is the Lamb. We'll not look at that today. I want to look at what the scripture says in Revelation the 6th chapter. Joshua, I believe you're on the line with a question. Joshua, are you there? Hello, Joshua.
Hello?
Yes, Joshua. Go ahead. Hello? With your question. Hello?
Okay. Yeah. Can I read a scripture, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It, you know, the Great Tribulation, it's actually Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30. For thus saith Yahweh, I've heard a sound of terror, of dread. There is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hand on his loins as a woman in childbirth, and why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, there's none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble or distress, but he shall be saved out of it. And that's the Great Tribulation, a purging process for national, religious, ethnic Israel.
That is the, in fact, when you look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it is for my people, the scripture says, dealing specifically with the Jewish people. But may I remind you, when this takes place, when the Antichrist is on the scene, it will effectuate a difficulty for the globe. But the focus of, according to Revelation chapter 12, according to Daniel chapter 9, the focus of the Antichrist will be to destroy the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And so you're exactly right. In fact, that is stated not just in Jeremiah, but also in Daniel, also in Joel, also in several of the other minor prophets, very, very clearly. But you're exactly right,
yes.
Brother.
Yes.
Thank you.
And also the catching away of the bride of Christ, the bride of the Mashiach, the Messiah. Elijah, remember, was caught in a whirlwind, and he was taken up. And Enoch, Henoch, the Gentile, was walked with God, and he was not, and he, for God took him. So that could be a great type of the catching away, the snatching out of the believer, Jew and Gentile.
No question about it. That is the Old Testament reference to what would be called the rapturus, the rapture of snatching away. And by the way, there's some people, some Christians, bless their hearts, that they just say the rapture is not going to take place, that we're all going to live through the tribulation and have to suffer the wrath of God. That is simply not so. But those are two good primary prima facie classic text dealing with the proof of the rapture and what it means and what happens. And then the classic for the Christian is found in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And then when you look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where God tells John, caught up in the vision on the Isle of Patmos, come up hither, that is the further indication of the rapture, because after Revelation 4, 1, the church is not mentioned again in the balance of the Revelation text until after chapter 19. So, yes, sir, we are going to, in fact, I don't know about others that's listening as our audience, but I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church suddenly seized. But that should cause us to be passionate and zealous and encouraged to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ while we yet have freedom, religious liberties in our nation to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Russia right now is closing the doors on Christianity, closing the doors on witness and evangelism in the nation of Russia. And that very thing could happen in America if we're not careful as to who we put into office. But Joshua, thanks so much, brother, for your call and your input. By the way, when we continue our thought in relationship to what is going to happen in those days, we have just enough time to introduce it, and we'll pick up with that. But in the sixth chapter of the book of the Revelation, it starts with the seals that are being broken, where the Lord Jesus Christ removes the seal. Picture, if you will, a scroll of paper rolled up. And you unroll it a certain distance, and there's a seal. You break the seal, unroll it some more. There's another seal. And then unroll it, there's another seal. And that is what we see the picture of. For in the book of the Revelation, there are 21 judgments, each in seven groups. The seven seals, and each time a seal is opened by the Lord Jesus Christ, it reveals greater and greater and greater catastrophe that will be upon this world after the church is raptured out. Then in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal is open. Chapter 7 is a parenthetical inset where revival will take place in the midst of tribulation. And then in chapter 8 of Revelation, the seventh seal is open. And then after the seventh seal is open, it introduces the seven trumpets. When the seventh trumpet is blown, it introduces the seven bowls of God's wrath, God's thumos, God's anger. And may I remind us, during the course of Revelation 6 through 18, we see the 21 judgments of God being poured out on a world that said no to his son, Yahshua Messiah, Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. May I remind us once again, we as Christians will not be in it. We will have been suddenly seized, snatched out. But just because we will not be in it doesn't mean that we ought not to be passionately concerned today to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. But when the seals begin to be open, they're the four horsemen that step out of the scene in the first portion of chapter 6 in the book of the Revelation. And may I remind us, each time a seal is open, there's the further amplification of the judgment of God. And then the seven trumpets amplifying further and further. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 talks about the seven spirits standing before the throne of God. That's the seven zoos, the angels, the angelos, the angels that are the messengers of God standing before the throne, waiting until he says, pour out your wrath, blow your trumpet. And each time a trumpet is blown, the intensification of God's wrath. The word wrath is the word thumos, white hot anger. God, listen, my dear friend, God is not angry with you or with me if we're saved. Blood bought, Bible saved, born again. God is not angry, so therefore there will be no wrath poured out upon the child of God. How is that so? Because we simply will not be in this old world when all of the judgments of God are poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying society. So may I encourage us to be encouraged with the fact that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ when this happens. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again tomorrow as we continue in Revelation, the sixth chapter, looking at the panorama of prophecy.
Deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.